All right, morning everybody. I hope you're all encouraged, because today you're going to be encouraged, I trust, and inspired. And the amazing thing is all that we've been talking about and going through and what we've been hearing in the testimonies fall so in line with what I want to share today. And I'm just looking here in this room. Do you believe that the people in this room can change this city? Because we need to believe it. In fact, the people in this room, you and I in this room, may not only impact this city, but cities beyond us. And we may even impact the nation. Okay, you and I. We need to believe it. Because I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you and I'm going to inspire you how we can do this. Now, the amazing thing is what we've been reading and hearing is the presence of God. And Mark was reading in Psalms 114 about the presence of God. Now, when we leave this place, I want us to be changed. Because there's no use coming here into the presence of God, leaving the same way. Am I right? Surely God changes us. Surely His presence does something within us. But you see, God doesn't change. It's us that change. You see, God's presence is always with us. It's us who need to get into His presence. We are standing back and expecting God to change or to do something in our lives when He's done everything. What it's all about is me and you to change and to do something. You know, at this time we've been hearing that God's so quiet. Where is He? We're all in a dry place. God's not around. Well, I can tell you He is. Maybe we've just withdrawn. Maybe we've put ourselves in places where we're so reliant on things other than God that God can't work. Because He's waiting for us to change and to do something. So I'm going to encourage us today with a few scriptures and a few testimonies. And just to hear what it is that we can do to be different. And if you really believe that God has called you to change this city or the area that you stay in or the business that you're in or your family or some person, you can do it. It's possible. You just need to hear this message and do something differently. You know that the word says we have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places that we need to go and do the work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 says that we've got every gift we need to go and build the church of Jesus Christ. But we're waiting for God. We're waiting for something to happen when we've got it. So what do we need to change? So I want us to go to Acts 2. We call ourselves a church of Acts, an Acts church, where we go back to what the Acts did. Well, what happened in Acts? And I want to read something there. If you go to Acts 2 from verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Did you hear that? Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. "And at the sound of the multitudes came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language." So Jesus had just told his disciples that they're going to be witnesses to the end of the world, and then they had already received the Spirit, as you and I received when we became Christians. When we became reborn Christians and we received Jesus Christ, we received the Spirit. Do you believe it? Because I believe some of you doubt you don't have the Spirit within you. The power of the Spirit moving in you and through you to change this nation. You sometimes wonder if I even have the Spirit or where are you, Spirit? Well, I'm going to teach you something today. So they were filled with the Spirit. But a strange thing happens here. There's two things that happen as we read on. Sorry, I'm moving around a bit much. I'll try and stay still. Two things happened. One, the church was getting prepared to go and speak. But two, the world was getting prepared to listen. We need to believe that the Holy Spirit is preparing us and is in us to go and preach the gospel, but we also have to believe that the world is being prepared to hear the gospel. Amen? We think the Spirit is just with us. He's just limited. Do you know that the Spirit is preparing people out there to hear, to listen, preparing us to preach, preparing them to receive? But we need to believe it. Otherwise, it won't happen. We'll just sit back and we'll wait. It says here, and the people out there were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And I'm skipping verses, but it says, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit was preparing the lost to hear the gospel. What does this mean? He was stirring their hearts to hear what the church was preparing to tell them. So we are being prepared to preach, and they are being prepared to listen. Do you believe it? Every single person that you meet, every single person you see is being prepared to receive the gospel, because the word says Jesus desires all men to be saved. And then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. You see, Peter realized the Spirit is here, the Spirit is in us and upon us, and the Spirit is working on them to hear the gospel. And he started preaching the gospel. Because the word says, don't be amazed. And this, because this is what happened of what the prophet Joel spoke about. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So the Holy Spirit is here. He's amongst us. He's working in us, and he's working in the lost and the unsaved and the dying and the world. And they're waiting to hear the gospel that we have to give them. Amen. Exciting. This is very exciting. And then it goes on in verse 21, says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to have an attitude and a mindset that whoever we speak to, whatever person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, whatever lost person we know is being prepared to be saved. Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus says, I've come for the world, that every lost person can be saved. And I've prepared you to give them the message that I've prepared them to hear and receive. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart. Why? Because God had already prepared their hearts. We don't have to do much except preach the gospel, to be available and to believe that we have what they want. I heard a sales pitch where a salesman was taught that you need to know what people want and you need to make sure what you have, you can meet their needs. Well, we've got what this world needs. Jesus has given us everything that we can give to this lost world. We just need to know what they want and they need, and we have it. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that day, 3,000 were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. Verse 41. And then it goes on that they met in the homes, breaking bread, praying, devoted to the apostles' doctrines. And God added daily to their number. Daily, people were being prepared. Daily, hearts were changed by the Holy Spirit to be added to the church. So we see, when the Holy Spirit empowers us, and changes us to go preach the word, we've got to believe that the world is waiting to receive this gospel that we have. We can't be walking around thinking no one wants the gospel, no one needs the word, this person's not going to listen, because that's not what the word says. A church prepared to speak and crowds prepared to listen. Us prepared to share and them prepared to receive. I heard a story of a Muslim man who was in Europe, and he was visiting Europe, but he was lost, and he was in Sweden, and a dream of a place of worship where people were standing, raising their hands. And the next night, he had a dream. He didn't know God. He didn't know the Bible. He was Muslim. And he had a dream of this place, and he felt he needed to go find this place. And he went around Sweden asking people, do you people know where this place is? There's this large auditorium where people raise their hands, and they do this. And people said, it sounds like a church. There's a big church in the middle of Sweden. Maybe go there in the capital, Stockholm. So this Muslim man, because he had dreams, no one ministered to him. No one preached the gospel to him. He just had a dream. He had a vision, and God was speaking in his heart. He got on a train, went past this church that he saw in the vision, and he actually went past it to Stockholm. He got off at the station, and there at the station was a man who said to him, young man, you've gone one station too far. He didn't even speak to this man. This man said to him, young man, you've gone one station too far. Go back. The place you're looking for is one station back. He got back on the train, and he went one station back. He came off the station, and he asked somebody else, I'm looking for this place. People are standing like this. I don't know what they're doing. They're saying, you're looking for that church over there. They're praising and worshiping. He went into this church. He heard the gospel being preached, and they did an altar call, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. These are miracles that are happening. People are being prepared out there to hear the gospel. He went in there, found this place. An angel met him and sent him back to where he was supposed to go. Do you believe that God is sending angels and preparing people, one person, to meet you so that you can change them and lead them to God, to Jesus Christ, because he so loves the world? But there's two things we need to do. And the first thing we need to do as a church is we need to dare to believe. We need to dare to believe that we have the gospel within us, and we need to dare to believe that the world is lost and hungry, and we need to give them what they want. They are waiting. They are hungry. They are lost, and we have what they need. We need to dare to believe. Now, I want to read a scripture to you, because we've been listening and about the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can come and he can change us, and we can feel empowered and we can feel different. But I want to show you something else, which is going to help you in your walk with Jesus, and it's going to help you to preach the gospel powerfully. It's going to help you to be able to minister and change people's lives. John 14, verse 15 and 16. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them something very important. He's going in depth with them, and he says something to them. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He'll give you another helper, because Jesus is a helper, and the Holy Spirit is our helper now. But then he goes on to say something which we need to remember forever. He says, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Always, some versions say. He will give you a helper who will be with you forever. Not sometimes. Not only when you need him. Not only when you've got to preach the gospel. Not only when you're praying. When you're desperate. Always. He's with you forever. He will not leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit is with you, not because you can feel him, or because he gives you goosebumps, or because you get visions, or because you get dreams, or because you got prophetic words. The Holy Spirit is with you because Jesus said. So even when you don't feel it, or you don't know it, or you think I'm not getting dreams, I'm not getting visions, God's not talking to me, That does not mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. You got to dare to believe that you have the Holy Spirit because Jesus said so. And Jesus said he will never leave you. Amen. Because sometimes we wait for goosebumps. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us goosebumps. Or we wait for our heart to pound. Or we wait for some miracle or some vision or something to happen. And the Holy Spirit does do that sometimes. But that's not what we stand on. We stand on the fact that Jesus said the Holy Spirit is with you, no matter what. Amen? I'm going to tell you another testimony. There was a pastor, and he had to do a big conference, and he was flying to the Faroe Islands, the small little islands on this fairly large plane. And he got onto this aeroplane, and they were flying to the Faroe Islands, and there were people on the plane, and you could sort of all hear each other because it was a relatively small plane. And this big guy happened to get on the plane and sit right next to him. And this guy was big, wide and tall. But this guy was also very drunk. Drunk. Sitting next to him, and he was loud, bolshy, and in his face. And this guy was talking and giving his opinions about everything, and the whole place was listening. And this pastor was just sitting there reading his Bible, saying, "Lord, all I want to do is read my Bible." And this guy was knocking him and banging him and saying, "Did you know this?" and talking it to the whole plane. And anyway, they were flying to the Faroe Islands, and next thing the pilot came over on the aeroplane and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I've got bad news. There's a terrible storm on the Faroe Islands, and we are not going to be able to land, so we're going to have to turn around and maybe try again tomorrow." And the whole plane went, "Oh." But this drunk guy said, "No, I need to see my family. I need to get to the Faroe Islands." And he looked at this pastor, and he saw this pastor at a Bible. "You pray to your God that we can land." So this pastor thought about it. He said, "What do I do?" And he said to him, "No, I'll pray, but you pray with me." And this guy said, "I don't believe in God." And this pastor thought in his mind, "Well, this guy who doesn't believe in God is asking me to pray to my God that we can land Faroe Islands." And the whole plane is listening. What is going to happen? And eventually this big drunk guy said, "Okay, if I pray with you, will your God allow us to land this plane? Will your God intervene?" And I sat there, the whole place, wondering, what is this Bible guy going to do? And he said, "Lord, do something. Give me a message. Give me a vision. Send Gabriel. Send Michael. Write something on the walls of this plane. What do I do?" The whole plane is listening. "What do I do and what do I say to this guy? Speak to me. I need you." Nothing. He says, "All I could fall back on was the promise of Jesus Christ is my spirit is with you. And he will never leave you." You see, we're waiting for a big vision, a big sign writing on the wall. But we got to stand on the fact Jesus just said, "The Holy Spirit is with you." And he said to him, "I will pray. And yes, God will land this plane." He said he stood on the word, on a promise he dared to believe. And he prayed for this guy as he could, allowing God to work and perform a miracle, giving God as much time as he could give God to perform this miracle. He prayed for his family, his business, his job, and he prayed for his salvation. And he said, "Lord, I've stepped out." He says he finished praying. 10 seconds later, the captain comes on the plane and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the weather has cleared up. We can land on the Faroe Islands." True story. Dare to believe. Stop waiting for feelings, for a vision, for something to happen. Believe that the Holy Spirit is with you. The second thing that we need to do, and we've been hearing God say it to us a lot. In fact, he said it again. Ivan mentioned it today. The second thing we need to do, One, dare to believe, no matter what. And two, step out of your boat. Step out of your boat. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 23 is a very interesting story. We know it where the disciples are in the boat. Jesus sends them across to the other side, and they're in this boat, and there's a storm, and Jesus comes and comes walking across, and they see him. And there's an interesting discussion that happens between Peter and Jesus. And first of all, we need to remember this boat that Peter was in, he was very familiar with. Peter was a fisherman, and the word says his father was a fisherman. Peter was brought up on a boat. His life was spent in a boat. He was secure in this boat. And one thing he understood, to travel on water, you need to be a boat. We stay in our boat. And you see, Jesus says to him, come. Come out of the boat. Come out of that familiar place, that safety zone of yours, that place where you have control. Come. But what we hear before that is Jesus first met Peter in the boat. Jesus comes and meets us in our familiar place, in our safe zone, where we're comfortable. He comes there. He builds up a relationship with us. We speak to him, but there's a time that comes when Jesus says, step out, come to me, into places that you're not familiar with, into places that you haven't been before, because only then will you experience things you've never experienced before. And only then will you see things you've never seen before. When you step out of the boat, out of that place that you're familiar with, out of that safe zone, because you see there's more to what Jesus wants to do in our lives than just stay in the boat. And I believe it's time that Jesus is calling us out of the boat. If we are church on the go and we dare to believe that the Holy Spirit is with us no matter what, and the Holy Spirit is working in the world no matter what, and Jesus has said, come, it's time for us to step out of the boat. You see, this familiar place for Peter is different for us. Because we all have a boat. We all have our safety place. We all have the place where we are comfortable, where we've got control, a place where we make excuses not to come out of. And Jesus says, come, and we'll find every excuse not to get out that boat. This is too familiar. But we need to step out. You see, Peter wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to get close to Jesus. And he knew if Jesus was on the water, he'd be able to walk on the water. Yes, he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. So we need to make sure when we get out the boat, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. But we need to get out the boat. So what is your safety zone? What is my safety zone? I've been very challenged by this message. We make excuses. My children, exams, school, my spouse, my husband, my work, this, that. That's our boat. We've got a prayer meeting. Oh, I'm going to stay in my boat. We've got church on Sunday. I'm going to stay in my boat. We've got an NCMR conference, which is going to change us, which is going to move us, which is going to inspire us, which is going to teach us, which is bringing us closer to Jesus. I'm going to stay in my boat. It's late. I like my food. There's a good TV program on. I've got sport to watch. Whatever it is, you've got a boat. And you need to say, what is my boat? And I need to start getting out of this boat. And I'm going to just close quickly because we've run out of time. But it's an amazing testimony. This pastor in Sweden, he stood on these two things. Dare to believe, step out of the boat. And they're in Sweden, and he says during this time, 3-4 years ago, we know there was unrest in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, and in Iran, during the ISIS, and refugees poured to Europe. Started off at the bottom of Europe in Greece. And they were a church just like us, saying, let's go, let's dare to believe, let's get out our boat, let's make a difference. And all these refugees were poor, and they had to make a decision, what do we do? Do we say, let's close these doors, let's stay in our comfort zones, we don't want refugees pouring into this place? They said they realized it was a humanitarian crisis, a lot of problems, but what was God saying? And they said, let's dare to believe. Let's step out the boat. We are, if God has given us the Holy Spirit and prepared them, he has refugees who may need the gospel. And they were part of a whole lot of churches in Greece, and they put up banners from Greece pointing refugees all the way to Sweden to their church. They had multitudes of refugees pouring into their church. They gave them clothes and they gave them food and they gave them medical equipment, but they said, we gave them the gospel. We told them, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall be saved. And they preached the gospel to these refugees, and these refugees started getting saved by the multitudes. His church has over 3,000 people. 70% of them are Muslim refugees today. Because they dared to believe and they stepped out the boat. They had to open up a Bible school. You know, teaching these refugees who worshipped Allah and a God who's dead and now serve the Lamb of God who died for us on the cross. Because they stepped out of the boat. They've got 700 churches across Europe, in Russia, in the Middle East. It's opened doors for them to plant churches in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Iran, all over Russia, because they stepped out of their comfort zones. It wasn't easy. It cost them. But they've seen thousands of Muslims being saved and coming to the Lord. He says every day he stands up there on a Sunday morning and he looks out and he sees these Muslim people who once worshipped another God and are now worshipping Jesus Christ. Dared to believe and stepped out the boat. So I'm just going to close with, what do you still believe? Do you believe Jesus has left you? Do you believe you don't have the Holy Spirit, or do you believe Jesus promised the Holy Spirit is with you even though you don't feel him right now? Even because you don't even maybe see him right now, but Jesus said so. Let's dare to believe that the person you meet out in the street today, tomorrow, during this week has been prepared to hear the gospel from your mouth. Let's step out of our comfort zones and let's start calling in the lost and the unsaved into the church and introducing them to Jesus Christ. Let's stop being uninvolved and independent, and let's start being involved and dependent on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit, and in each other. So I'm going to pray. And if that's you, and if you've been moved and you've been stirred, let's open our hearts to Jesus Christ, because he's done everything. But let us be filled with boldness and courage to step out there and do what God's called us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us everything we need. You've fulfilled everything. You've given us the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us. You've given us every spiritual blessing. You've given us everything that we need. We thank you for the gifts. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the church. We thank you for your body. But I pray that we can step out there with boldness, that we can dare to believe that even when we don't see you, when we step out, there's a miracle waiting for us on the other side of that first step. As we step out that boat, there's a miracle waiting for us to change people's lives, and that we can see that you are in us and that you are working in this world and you've come to save the lost. Lord, show us our comfort zones, our excuses, our places where we feel safe and secure, and let us step out of the boat so we can walk towards you and do what you've called us to do, to preach the gospel and to save the lost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.